Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. This can be found on iTunes as a free download, and it's also found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering. As always, I am privileged and delighted to have another amazing woman to chat with. So I'd like to say hello to Susanna. Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Pam. Hi. Nice to be here. I'm the honored one. I'm honored to be with you here tonight.
Thank you very much. Could you take a moment and introduce yourself to us and let us know where you're from and what you do or a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sure. My name is Susanna Jelčić-Jakšić. I live in Zagreb in Croatia. I'm a speech therapist and I work as a speech therapist at Children's Hospital in Zagreb. And I've been working there for over two decades. And I stutter since I was 5 years old. And because of that, actually, I did many things in my life. Because of my stutter.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a number of things that we can talk about. So what's going through my head is, what should we talk about first? What was stuttering like for you as a child and growing up?
What I do remember, it was a not nice surprise in my childhood. As I said, I started when I was five, and they tell me that they told me that I was a very talkative child, that I was very talented, actually, talented child for talking. I like to perform, to act, and like to approach people. Who I didn't know. And then at the age of five, everything changed. I'm not sure if I remember that moment when that evening when I started stuttering. I'm not sure if I remember it or whether it is based on the stories that I heard from my parents. Anyway, that was one moment, and it is related to the fairy tale on which name I can't say now in English, but anyway, one of those little men there, how do you call them, had a stutter. And I was listening to that story with my friend, mm-hmm. and my mother didn't know where I was, so she was not very, very happy when she realized that, and she was very angry when she found me. And anyway, it was a stress for me, I guess. And since that evening, I started stuttering. And after that, I started changing. I was not so talkative. I was not ready to approach people I didn't know. I started talking much less. And that was it. Then there was a school. We here start school at between 6 and 7 years age. And I remember that I was very willing to say what I knew when teacher asked, because I knew a lot. I knew how to write, how to read by then. But once, very early at school, it happened that I just blocked. I couldn't say the answer. And since then, during the whole school years in my life, I never raised my hand again. Yeah. So it took me a long time to start raising my hand and volunteering to say something.
Now, during this period, were your parents supportive? Did they try to get you some help?
Well, my mother and my father were different in viewing that problem. Mm-hmm. I think I can say that my mom was shocked with a change, and that at some and she was in phases when she didn't want to admit it, to accept it, and she was a kind of ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I was great, you know, great looking kid, and she was very proud of me. Just when I talked, I was not so perfect. And my father was, he was a doctor. So as a doctor at that time especially, he expected me to stop stuttering at some age. And he was waiting until then. So only after I was, I think, 9, actually, he started looking for some cure, some help. Mm-hmm. But he was very, very supportive in that way, yeah.
What type of doctor was your father?
He was for a public health, actually. He was in that field.
Okay. Did you think that he thought that he could fix it because he was a doctor?
No. He was only a very supportive father. He didn't try to fix it himself.
Okay.
And he involved himself as much as he could when I was in later in my adolescent years when I was in therapy. But he took me to what was available at that time in Zagreb, and it was first a child psychiatrist, of course. Mm-hmm. And I could remember the therapy. I mean, the only things I remember from then was that I liked playing there. It was some kind of play therapy, I would say, and I liked it. Mm-hmm. My mom didn't like it, however. And after that, I think when I was 11, they took me to Belgrade. There was at that time famous Professor Brajović in Belgrade, who founded an institute for speech disorders, and he was applying a kind of therapy that was very 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 thorough, I would say now. But it asked a lot from that one who stuttered and from his family. Mm-hmm. So it was my family, actually. His view was that parents should be trained to become a kind of a therapist. And we all had, my parents, one of them had to do those exercises with me three times a day for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was very demanding.
Yes, therapy. So. How did your mom react to that?
Well, she liked to help. She believed that it would help, so it was okay with her as well. only it took a long time because, as you know, only techniques are not enough.
Right.
So, of course, I had problem in applying those techniques in everyday life, and especially at school. Mm-hmm. So it took a long time, and I think getting more mature helped, actually, mm-hmm. the most. Mm. And I gradually, actually, solved situations. I become more fluent in everyday situations, and then I decided to enter a speech therapy course at our university in Zagreb, mm-hmm. and it helped a lot. It helped a lot because the motto of Professor Brajović was that cured stutterer, as he used to say. was one who could help another one, another fellow stutterer. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do it because when I was in his therapy, I was also when I was in the last phase of it, I was asked to help those who just started it.
Okay.
So I had some feeling of being supportive and helping others who started. And I decided to make it my profession. And when I entered the university, then I felt that I felt obliged to become more fluent.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I couldn't allow myself to stutter anymore. And from one aspect, it was very good because it made me think more about my speech or work more on my speech. And from other side, it made me think I was not allowed to stutter anymore. And of course, there were still situations that I either avoided.
Mm-hmm.
I was avoiding them, or I still stuttered. I would still stutter in those situations.
Now, was that a choice that you made, that you wanted to try to become more fluent, or did the university imply that you had to be more fluent in order to be in the program?
That's a good question, yeah. Actually, I never talked about my stutter until the very end of it, when I was... When I was talking to my professor with which I did my graduate thesis,
mm-hmm.
that question was never raised, and I was convinced that my professors never noticed my stutter.
Really?
I thought I had a feeling I was really good at exams, actually. I'm not sure if I really was, but I had that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, no one ever asked me anything about it, and my professor even now likes to say that she knew I was a stutterer, but not by my speech, but by the way my nostrils would move. You know, when you have that tension, facial tension, and then your nostrils would open and close.
Oh,
so it was not my speech that she noticed.
Mm-hmm. So she still didn't say anything? I mean, she noticed it at a particular time, but never said anything about it?
No, not until the very end when I was working on my final thesis. No.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, and I was lucky that I could get a position, a job, where I was able to apply that method that I was treated by.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt very self-confident in that method, and I trusted the method, and I felt really, really good about it for some years.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, you start, the more experience and knowledge you get, you start... asking yourself, wanting to do more and to change something.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, a turning point in my career was when I went to Hugo Gregory's workshop for specialists in stuttering. That was a turning point for me as a stutterer and also as a speech therapist. Because there I realized that I didn't have to be fluent all the time, that there were other people, other speech therapists in the USA who also stuttered.
Mm-hmm.
But they talked, they expressed their thoughts, and they expressed themselves. So so it was great. It was a kind of relief.
Mm-hmm. So did you start stuttering more openly from that point?
I don't think I stuttered more. I think I just felt free to speak and to stutter if it happened.
Right.
And the main point was that I started feeling much more free, opened, much more just able to talk. And since then I started going to talk in public. I would accept every invitation. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I would go and talk on the radio, on the TV.
And were these talks about stuttering or about other topics?
I do apologize for my voice troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were most of them were on stuttering. I was asked as a speech therapist to go and talk on various speech disorders, but as my specialty is stuttering, then the most talks I did were on stuttering. And 10 years ago, I initiated and founded the Croatian Association for People Who Stutter.
Oh, wow. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. As a speech therapist in my early years, actually during my first 10 years as a speech therapist, I started something like a group therapy once a week, but it was a group for all ages of mm-hmm. people who started I worked with, starting with school age children. And adults as well. So we started calling it a club.
Club?
A club, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then there was an initiative from my clients. They wanted to found it and called it a Society for Stutterers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before the last war here. So somehow that group didn't survive through the war. I mean, people were not so interesting to attend those groups, and that initiative was forgotten. And then at the end of 90s, I think, I had a letter from someone from ELSA
mm-hmm.
asking about self-help in Croatia. And I thought, wow, that's something we should really do here. And maybe it was my mission, I thought, to do it. So I decided to found the association. And it was for people who stutter and for professionals and all others interested in stuttering. And it was really, really good. We started, we had self-help groups for adults. We had supportive groups for parents of children who stuttered, and also groups for all ages of children. What we were and are still lacking is are actually professionals who would do that group work, trained speech therapists who could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment we have only self-help groups, a group for adults who have that group and run it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you advertise initially that you had started the Stuttering Association? How did people find you?
Well, it was not a problem actually to get a room in the media,
mm-hmm.
in newspapers, on radio and television. It was okay. So we celebrated the Stuttering Awareness Day every year, and we organized other events, and it was always very well covered in the media.
Oh, great.
For 1 year at the beginning, we even had as a general sponsors Croatian Telecom. So it was great because they also had as their person, I don't know how to say it, a famous Croatian pop singer who also stuttered. So it was a very, very good connection, actually, between media, between financial support and us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were especially in the media a lot when we were organizing the 8th World Congress for People Who Stutter in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Croatia in Cavtat.
Wow.
So it was good.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've been intimately involved in self-help. Are you still involved actively?
Well, I was a chair of that association until last spring, or spring this year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really, really enough, and I wanted other people to get more active.
Mm-hmm.
Because volunteering is not so... So, I mean, not viewed in the same way as it is in the States, I think. So you can hardly find people who want to volunteer.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But Tim, one of my first clients in my career, actually, he took it over. Now he's a chair of the association, and he also leads a self-help group in Zagreb. The problem is to get people in other parts of Croatia more active in that sense. But Zagreb is quite okay.
Yeah. So, what is the perception of stuttering in Croatia, given all that you were able to establish with self-help and having had a World Congress there? Is stuttering well accepted? Are people supportive? Or do people who stutter still face, issues with stigma or discrimination or any of that?
Well,
or is that clear?
Well, yeah, it's not an easy question to answer. What I can say is that I can compare actually the situation when I started working as a speech therapist and now, and I'm sure I have no exact data actually that I can tell you, but I'm sure that in last few years I get much more parents with young children who would approach me a few days or a couple of weeks after they noticed stuttering in their children's speech.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that has changed. A lot more things should be done on making people who stutter feeling better about it or feeling not so much ashamed of it. But I also think that we did a lot as association with teachers. You can still get those stories, you know, that a child can't get the highest score in a school because the child had not said something fluently when it come to reciting and reading and those sort of things. But it's not often, of course.
Okay.
So I think things have changed, but there is still a lot to be done.
Yeah. Just like here in the U.S. as well, I'm sure, even though there are active efforts here in the U.S. with the National Stuttering Association, the Stuttering Foundation, and the Friends for the Young People, people who stutter generally still face mockery and discrimination in the workplace because people still don't understand it. And I find when people are ignorant of a particular issue, that's when they're more likely to you know, shun us or, you know, say ridiculous things and make mm-hmm. us want to hide it. So mm-hmm. obviously there still needs to be more done all over, I think.
Well, what I can say for Croatia that we've been lucky here, lucky in some way, that's what I used for that congress in 2007. I wanted to get popular famous people in Croatia who started to support us mm-hmm. for that Congress. And actually, it turned out that, and still it is the case, that the governor of Croatian National Bank, Dr. Rohatinski, is a severe stutterer.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But he is someone who is trusted more than any politician and anyone else in this country. So he stutters severely, but he talks in public, of course, and people listen to him with great admiration and great trust. So he is a big support to us. Then we had not so severe stutter, but still with a not noticeable stutter, our national football team coach Slaven Bilic, he stutters, mm-hmm. and he was until recently, he's been admired and had many fans. I mean, still has, of course, but not so much as when our national team was on top. Mm-hmm. And then there is a popular singer Giboni, who doesn't stutter so much. I have a feeling he is avoiding. He has more tricks in his speech when he talks. But a great help from him was then, since we asked him, he started talking about the times when he started stuttering, and he talks about how music helped him in overcome or conquer his stutter. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. So we have those quite important people in Croatia who stutter. And that's a great help. Yeah,
that's wonderful, because here, most of the famous people that mm-hmm. we allude to in the United States are people that no longer stutter, mm-hmm. used to stutter, or they've overcome stuttering. So I think it's important to have role models visible that still stutter, mm-hmm. so that people can see that it is okay, and that you mm-hmm. still can be an effective communicator and stutter, whether it be mildly, moderately, or severely. So that's mm-hmm. wonderful to hear of that. But let me ask you this. What has been the experience for you as a woman who stutters, and for women in general? Because it sounds like most of your key figures are men.
Yeah, true. Yes, well, I guess that's because more men stutter than women, of course.
Yes.
And but yeah, I don't know of any famous Croatian who stutter. I mean, woman Croatian who stutter.
Except you.
Myself. Yeah, and there are not so many of them in the world, as you know, but. I personally never had that problem, and never thought about my stutter and myself being a woman who stutters, I must admit. Mm-hmm. I am one of those woman stutterers who maybe more like Marilyn Monroe, I would say, in a way. That there is that story that she started whispering and seducing when talking in order not to stutter. But no, really, I always had less problems, and I always talked more fluently when I had to talk with a male.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well, now we won't talk about it, why and... But it was always, for a long time, easier for me to talk with men. For some reason, I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. Woman who stutter.
Yeah. Have you met other women who stutter in Croatia? Or are the majority of people that you've met and worked with have been men and boys?
One person, one... A young woman who I met when I was a young speech therapist. She came to Croatia to Zagreb University as exchange student from Poland, from Krakow. And she came to our center. She wanted some therapy or to see what we can do here. And she was the first person who stuttered that I ever met, who stuttered in so charming way. She was, her stutter was really, as someone can say, it looked as a part of her. I know that she didn't think the same, of course, and even now she doesn't think so. But it was really so charming, so nice, so, I can't choose the words to say it, so nice stutter. Mm-hmm. She would, you know, blink with her eyes, but with a smile. It was all stuttering with a smile. Yeah. So, she was not happy with it. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And I hope I'm going to meet her for ISA this year when I go to Poland to contribute to their conference on stuttering. On ISA, she was nice, but I don't know much others. My clients who stutter. I still think that women have a more positive view of stuttering than male clients, even from the very, very early age. Mm-hmm. Here in Croatia, I don't know for the USA, but I think that women can deal with it much easier than boys and men.
Hmm. Now, see, here I think, now I'm not a speech therapist, but my experience in self-help and in therapy, I've always been one or two women in a very large group of men. But mm-hmm. what I've always observed is that the men just want it to be fixed as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. whereby women who stutter are more apt to want to talk about the feelings and the emotions that go along with it, because I think that's what, at least in my experience, that's what has always been more of a struggle. It's been how I felt about it rather than actually how I sound when stuttering. So mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, there is a difference in how men and women perceive it. But it's interesting that you say that the women seem to find it easier than the men do in Croatia.
Well, it's maybe partly due to the fact that that the society and many men themselves expect more from themselves. I mean, they should be the one who go out, who would do something for the family, who would do more for the family than women. Women have right to be helpless, you know. They have that right to feel helpless.
Yeah.
Well, at least here. We here still have a gentleman and a helpless women. So it's more acceptable for women to talk not perfectly or to avoid some situations or to do such things which are typical for some people who stutter than men.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely like the way that you described your friend from Poland. Mm-hmm. I when you said that it was like stuttering with a smile, I really mm-hmm. liked that description, because to me, what I visualized when you said that was like she's very confident when she communicates, and if she's able to maintain eye contact and smile while speaking, then that's the name of the game, because you can do that with a stutter or not, because as we both know, communication is so much more than fluency. It's mm-hmm. connect with the other person. So I like that saying, stuttering with a smile. I think if we can do that, then we're successful in communicating.
Well, if I may add something, she didn't seem as a person who started very self-confidently. She was not feeling good about it, but she did start with a smile. And I can say for myself that until I became stronger, I mean, when I was feeling weak, I don't say weak as a woman, but weak as a person. Mm-hmm. And until I didn't start building myself, being a stronger person, and actually until I haven't found myself in a position in which I had no choice. I couldn't choose to be weak. I had to take care of things. I just had to. It was that kind of situation in my life. Mm-hmm. And that was the turning point where I had to start doing something for myself, where I couldn't let myself avoid. I had to make phone calls. I had to go and ask something. I just had to. Because it was a matter of survival almost. So that helped me build myself, being a stronger person and starting doing things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you've had an incredible journey, one that certainly has had its ups and downs, and it sounds like you've allowed your personal journey to help others, and for that I'm sure many people are grateful.
Well, I hope they are. Well, I'm sure that self-help is good. I mean, helping others, you help yourself. So if I can turn back to my life, I think that when I decided helping others or to become a speech therapist, I actually started helping myself a lot. It is a mutual thing. I mean, you help others, and by that you help yourself, because there is always that exchange. So I would advise everyone to start to open themselves and to start helping others. That would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, that's a great way to sum that up, and actually a great way to wind down our conversation. I do want to say I'm grateful for you choosing to share parts of your story with us, because there are a lot of women out there that haven't met other women who stutter, and they listen, and I think it's important that we share our stories. It's very powerful. So thank you, Susanna, very much for joining me today and for sharing your story.
Thank you, Pam.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.